Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Network. It is our Tuesday night flight. Tonight, we brought back one of our favorite segments, Joe the Fan, where we talk to one of our buddies, one of our friends. We get a little information on them and see how things are going, talk a little bit, kick it for a little bit. Of course, I got the usual suspects with me, the big guy KG, the boss man B, and then the special guest is my dude. He's a brother from another mother. He the reason I got in trouble in college. Man Rab, also known as Clarence. Pronounce the last name for it.
Jeter. It's like Jeter. Derek Jeter, but he got a J. I got a G, and he got a lot of bread. That's the only difference.
All right, here we go. Guys, how we doing tonight?
Feeling good. Anyway,
fantastic, man. Can't complain. Cold.
Yeah, it is cold. What? Did y'all enjoy the snow today?
I guess I'm the oddball because I got my fan on.
Now, I guess I got up too late. I didn't see a speck of snow. Unless it was.
I drove to work in the snow this morning. I'm talking about the whole front of my truck was covered in snow when I got to where I was going.
But where was you going? Like Jesus Town? Where were you going?
I was just right down in I went to Ashburn this morning.
Yeah, you went through Fauquier County.
Yeah, that's why you saw.
Man, yeah, I had to put on coveralls. I had to put on a big puffy coat. I had to put on a face mask, a hat. It was cold, man. It was cold and rainy.
Oh, did you have to put the mittens on? And then when you came home, they gave you some hot chocolate.
He was wrapped up in corner in a blanket.
Right. What's my man from A Christmas Story, Ralphie? You was wrapped up like
couldn't put his arms down.
Yeah.
That's okay. I was warm though. I was warm.
Oh.
Yeah, man. I left all that cold weather up there. I'm down in North Carolina now. They don't snow down here.
There we go. So you're not going to recognize the name in the comments, but that's Dave from New York, from college. The name, Noir Jacobin.
Oh, bet. Big Dave. Long time.
Now, I'm trying to get your girl in here, too. She said she's going to check in, Miss Tara Rogers, but...
Oh, bet.
I don't know what she up to.
Some faces I ain't seen in a while.
And she was probably basketball. I ain't even got to say it. Check the comments.
She owes us college basketball. So she here. She owes us college basketball.
Just real quick before
she do. But she may not be able to talk.
Before we get started, like the Midnight Rider said, this is Joe the Fan segment. And it's open to anybody. You want to hop on and exactly what Rab is going to go through. You'll go through the same process. And you get to tell your side of your sports story, your sports life. And get to know you a little bit, and you know, we get that camera shyness and that gun shyness out of the way. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's all good fun. You know, if you watch us before, you know how we do it. We don't do no yelling and arguing back and forth. This is the people's sports show. Hopefully, The Rock doesn't come down and stomp on him
like that
for using that statement. But it's the people's podcast. I'm semi-TikTok famous. You know, I make TikTok videos a little bit. So I'm semi-TikTok famous. You might know me. You know, I don't know if y'all remember Home Alone with John Candy was talking to the mama Home Alone. You know, the poker. You know, we did this. We did, you know, that's me. So without further ado, I'm going to step to the side. We're going to let Midnight ride. And it will come in. Big Guy KG coming with the comments. But since they got that camaraderie and they know each other, Midnight Rider, turn that chicken lamp on. Hi. And let's get the cook. Yeah.
Crank it up.
All right, let's go. Hey, so as we always do when we start this segment, we always, here we go. She can talk this week, but let's not even get into that.
Hey, Tara.
So, first question I always try to start it off with is just like your first memory, the thing that made you fall in love with sports.
Great. All right. So that's sort of tough. I don't want to be, I'm not going to be biased about it because I got a ton of Broncos stuff I can think about. Been a fan since I was 7. But I would say the thing that made me fall in love with sports, I never forget that I was about 4 years old. Funny story, actually. I had to be about four, maybe 5. And my father was in the bathroom shaving. What I know now that I did not know then, now this is my biological father. My dad who raised me was different. He was a super sports fan. He played minor league baseball for the Yankees, just, you know, all around sports guy. But my biological father who raised me, what I know now, he's the only sport he is into is boxing. He was an amateur boxer. Other than that, he, you know, street life type stuff. So I didn't know he ain't know nothing about football. So I'm 4 years old, little TV, little 12 inch, whatever that was back in the day. He's in the bathroom shaving. I'm watching a game between these two teams, right? So teams was the 49ers and the Rams. I'll never forget that. First time I remember even seeing football on the screen. And so I'm watching it and I'm like loving it. And I'm like, oh man, I love it. I love this, man. What they doing? And so I was like, Dad, who is these two teams playing? And he was like, I don't know. Tell me what they look like. I was like, one of them got a swirly yellow swirl on their helmet and it's blue. And the other one got a gold helmet with red on it. And he was like, oh, he said, that's probably like, I sound like the 49ers and the Rams. And I was like, okay, which one is which? He was like, the ones with the swirl on the helmet, that's the 49ers and the other team is the Rams. That's, I never forgot that, because when I got old enough, I was like, man, you really didn't know what the hell you was talking about, man. You know? Like, I didn't realize that for like 3 or 4 years, but I was like, hold up, what? But that's my earliest memory of football, which, you know, and I would say that made me fall in love with sports, no doubt.
Well, I mean, let's talk since we're at the age of 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Tell them the story of how you became a local, I guess, a Del Rey famous by being in an article.
Oh, yeah. See, Twin, no, look, let me check it out. Okay. You know, that's our GMU thing. You know, me and him came in freshmen together, twins, you know. So, but yeah, so I was in the newspaper. Because I think I was 4 or 5 months, and they came to my house because I was climbing the steps at that age. You know, most babies at 4 or 5 years old don't climb up steps, and I was doing it at that time, and so they was like pretty amazed, like, whoa, what? A little 4 or 5 year month? Did I say year or month? Did I say month? Yeah, I'm sorry.
First time you said months, second time you said years.
Okay. All right, because I know people are like, what is wrong with him? Yeah, 4 or 5 months, you know, climbing up the steps. So that was my first introduction to any kind of, you know, what do you call it, local broadcasting, if it were.
But born in Alexandria?
Alexandria, Virginia, east side. Known as Del Rey, Virginia. Del Rey. You know, one of your avid listeners, good friend of mine, great friend of mine, great friend of ours, Terry Rogers, also from Del Rey. So repping Del Rey tonight, all day, all night. Del Rey all day.
And then let's talk about the time, because you went to TC, right?
TC Williams, the great TC. So
at TC, were you there with Radcliffe Thomas?
Yes. Yeah, Radcliffe was Radcliffe Thomas was, I want to say, 2 years before me. So he was a senior, because TC at the time wasn't like traditional high schools. TC was 10th through 12th. So when I came in at 10th, Radcliffe was in 12th. And me and Radcliffe, we actually grew up in the same neighborhood together, because I spent most of my time in Del Rey. But then you got another section of Alexandria called the Birds. And my parents, I live with my grandmother, but my parents lived in the Birds, and that's where Radcliffe lived at. So I remember when Radcliffe was a regular size little skinny boy. And we all know he ain't no regular size little skinny boy no more.
For those that don't know, Radcliffe Thomas played at University of Maryland. I think he was all Virginia linebacker at TC. Yeah, he had a bunch of accolades. Played at Maryland. I think he had a spell or a cup of coffee in the league. I'm not sure what he's doing now, but that's the reason we brought that up.
Yeah, he was with the Colts. I remember seeing him, and when I finally got to TC, he was in the hallway. I ain't know what he was, man. He looked like a grown man. I'm talking about a grown man. But yeah, that dude was amazing. Still is. I think he does a coaching thing now. So,
all right, cool. Then let's get through college and up to the current. So you end up at George Mason.
George Mason University.
How did we get there?
Oh man, that's another funny story. All right, so when I was in high school, I didn't have any desire to go to college. None whatsoever. It wasn't on my radar. I don't know what my plans would have been after graduation. I guess I had none. I guess I was just going to go into the workforce. Then I realized that all of my friends, my crew that I hung with in high school, they was all going to college. Now, we talking about you graduate in June. This is like April, you know? And I'm finding out, oh, you going here? You going to George Mason? Oh, you going to Norfolk State? You going to here? And I was like, I'm gonna be stuck in a city by myself, you know? I mean, not by myself, but my crew, my circle was gonna be all at college. So I was like, oh man, I guess I gotta go to college. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. It wasn't, you know, but I was like, I guess I gotta go. So I applied to George Mason, and the rest is history. That's where I ended up meeting Midnight Rider himself, you know? And we had a, like Wu-Tang say, we had a sick tight click, you know what I'm saying? And that was it. What was we called back then? We had like a whole real set.
It was like something with the President Park or Linkin Park, something like that.
Linkin Park Mob, LPM, that's what it was. Linkin Park Mob, yes sir. That was it. So yeah, George Mason, man, a lot of memories there, too many to mention. I will say this. I know the Midnight Ride, I know he gonna remember. But me and Twin used to get a little gin in ourselves. Go in the hallway of the dorm. He laughing because he know what I'm about to say. Go in the hallway of the dorm, no shirts off, you know. Everybody, when you 18, you know, you got some muscle, straight body. And go in the hallway after we done took the gin and be like, all right, look, we going. You know, if you rap, you go line for line. Me and him was going chest shot for chest shot, straight up. Just what take? All right, go ahead, take your turn, Slim. Bam. All right, take your turn. Bam. I don't know how them joints ended up, but thank God they wasn't face shots because I'd have got in trouble.
The joint I remember is. Nah, you good, buddy. You good. I'm gonna say this and then I'm gonna let the guys jump in. You took me to a field around Thanksgiving, and it was like a Thanksgiving turkey bowl type of thing. And I had my hand in the cast because I had messed up my thumb.
And
all I remember, I'm thinking, oh, this is gonna be a nice little cool game. It's a bunch of people, blah, 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 blah. So I catch a ball like 10 yards down the field, shake a dude. And then the one dude grabbed me by my waist. I'm trying to fight out. And all I see is this blur come across. And I'm talking about tattoo me. Wow. I mean, you heard it. And like my body, I was like, you know that joint that's be on the back of the wall on the ground? Where it's like, brrr, it go back and forth. Like, that's how my body went. And I hit the ground. I was like, yo, I swear he catched the ball. Next time he touched the football. We just cleaning this rack, bro. No, sir.
No doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how it was. We always competed. Like, it was always, it was like me, him, and DK, we'd get a football and we'd be in the park. And then all of a sudden, people would jump in and we'd have like a 5-on-5 or a 6-on-6.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Straight up all the time, man. JMU, you know, it was at the time, you know, this we talk on, you know, decades ago, but at the time, it was a club football team. Could have been, we played NCAA teams, but we was club, you know. I played defensive back. Your man right here, Midnight Rider, receiver, you know. And yeah, we had some that was it was some fun times back then, man. Fun times, hell good yeah. stuff, good stuff.
Go ahead, KG.
I'm just gonna say this, and we get to a couple comments, and I'm gonna say this. Noah says, "Whoa, Gen Chat, a good times with those gents." Tara Rogers says, "We had a blast at GMU." And Tara Rogers said, "That's because you was a little old baseball player."
Yeah, that's him.
And I'm gonna say this because I like messing with the Midnight Rider. You know, you talking about something from decades ago, and I'm gonna say this to the Midnight Rider now. Go get your shoes. We can lace them up right now. I guarantee Woo! You. Won't.
I keep telling you, these shoulders, these knees ain't look like they used to. Woo!
Lace them up right now. Let's go. Look,
before we do that, I gotta check my copay and see who my emergency contact is.
Look, I already got the biofreeze ready for both of us, so let's just go ahead and get it out of the way.
Man, hey, look, in the meantime, check your deductible.
Right, that's exactly.
Hey, you got a Marty McFly him. You got to have the plate under your shirt. So when you go at it and you hit him, he dropped and you just be like, "Don't you stop messing with me." You throw the plate.
But hey,
go ahead, Katie.
Oh, Terry Rogers said your knees are old. Hey, don't. Hey, we're not talking about knees here. Look, I was rubbing my knees early because they was cold. No, we're not talking about knees. We ain't going to talk about knees. But let me ask you this, Rap.
What's up?
We got a thing, and you can tell me this about the Midnight Rider. We got a thing. I always say he is a Virginia's Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. I'm Maryland's Magic Johnson.
Okay.
What's my man like that on the court? I know he was. I just want to hear from somebody else.
I say this. This is true. They played basketball. That wasn't me. He could play. I said he could play. That wasn't me. I can't tell you I stood in front of him or nothing like that. But me looking on them running, yeah, he could play. He could play. My man
trying to take some out of retirement, man. All I need is a solid, maybe 5 or 6 times up and down the court. Him and BJ, that's all I need from him. I don't need a whole 5 or 6 times up and down the court. That's it.
Hey, man, why y'all ducking KG, man? Why y'all doing that?
Them days again. Over.
Man, I'm like Barry Sanders. I faxed in my retirement.
Hey, Noah said Midnight Kahoot for sure. That's good. Now, but see, I'm the young puppy, so I'm just getting ready to hang it up and pass to the next generation. So I'm the young puppy, you know. All everybody right. else got me, B got me by 9 months, you know, but everybody else is a little bit older. So you know, I'm trying to get them out for one last hurrah, one last run. Hey, you know, just say, "Hey, we did it. We went out our way."
That's it,
boss.
So, you know, I got a question, and we have a resident sideline junkie that's a Bronco fan, and that's Monte. And I get asked it all the time because I'm a Buffalo Bill fan, so I want you to, you know, tell your story of how you bypassed, which would have been then the Washington Redskins, to become a Denver Bronco fan.
My bad, DJ, but I had an alarm go off and it cut off. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, it's all good. I was asking, how did you bypass being a fan of the Washington? What pulled you to the Denver Broncos?
Okay. All right. I will admit something on the sideline junkies. I will admit this. I don't even think Midnight Rider knows this. Hey, look. I told y'all that I've been a Broncos fan since 7. But like a year or two before that, it was Skins.
Okay.
So because I was in love with I hope I got my years right, but I was in love with Dexter Manley. I wanted to at a young age, this is when I was a Broncos fan. I wanted to be like Charles Mann. I mean, the dude was just a straight beast. So, but really, the only reason why I didn't stick with the home team, one reason and one reason only, is John Elway. I mean, I could just leave it right there because it's John Elway. But I remember when I was a kid, six or seven, it was the same time he came out of Stanford. And I was just like, whoever this dude is, amazing to me. Like, he's just a straight amazing. And he went with the Broncos. Of course, he went with Baltimore first. He went with the Colts first. Didn't want to play there. Went with the Broncos. And the rest is history. I was like, where he go, I'm going to go. And it stuck, man. And I caught, man, listen, I used to catch all kinds of flack from that. Everybody in D.C., everybody in Alexandria, you know, in the surrounding areas. How you from here? You a Broncos fan? What? You know, I'm talking about like real heat. Like, some people get legit mad.
Yeah.
You know, that don't make no sense. What you ain't? You ain't never been to Denver. You know, like.
Yep.
But hey, look, I don't care. Just like, hey, all right. So D, you not from Buffalo, right?
No, sir. I'm from here.
All right. There you go. So you know what it's like. Now I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what it was. It was Elway.
And man, sometimes it, you know, that polarizing figure, man, you know. I think Jordan did it for a lot of Bulls fans in the 90s.
Yeah.
You get that polar, you know, much as people hate the guy, LeBron's done it for Cleveland, Miami, the Lakers, you know, the same thing. But now I get it, man. You know, I tell these guys all the time, I believe that was the year before they went to the Super Bowls is when I started watching football. And I just watched that offense, and I just fell in love with it. And that was like, you know, everybody, you know, the male side, like, well, you pick your team, that's it. You know what I'm saying? And
Ain't no flip-flop.
It ain't no flip-flops. Nah. That's my squad right there. And
that's it.
Four straight heartbreaking losses, 4 years of pain and we're not going to go in there.
Man, I'll tell you what. Listen, my team, when I was – how old was I? I was 11 when the Broncos took that beat down from Washington. You know, like, I was like 11 years old. And, like, I remember that Super Bowl. The Broncos set the record. I think it might still be a record, but it's the record. It was the fastest touchdown in Super Bowl history. Because they scored a touchdown on the second play of the Super Bowl. And at that time, I'm pretty sure the Washington was the underdog. And when we scored, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a wrap. At the time, I didn't know that Washington was going to go ahead and break, what, two Super Bowl records that day? Broke my heart, man. And, I heard that for years. You know, even when the Broncos started winning, you know, when we finally started winning, I'd be chopping up with people from the area, and oh yeah, but 42-10 though. I'm like, that was like forever ago.
Yeah, you got when you hear that, just be like, go ahead and dust your VCR tape off and play it.
yeah.
You know,
I agree with that.
Midnight Rider, you here?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Go ahead, KG.
College football team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So who you running with?
So look, I'm gonna let Midnight Rider, you still want to try a guess? I mean, I don't know if it's a guess. He said he believes he knows my team. He told me, and I'm like, it brought a little giggle to me. And look, I'm gonna let y'all gonna giggle too. All right, Midnight Rider, let me have it, man. Who you think it is?
If memory serves correct, it's Notre Dame, and one of your favorite players was Rocket.
No doubt. You got it. There you go. Right there. All day. Yep. Mr. Ishmael it is, and Notre Dame all day. I'm in great company right here. So I love it.
That is one of the reasons why I'm a Notre Dame fan. That's one of the big reasons I'm a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
We'll find some other Terp fans, and we're going to unite. This shit over, I promise.
It's just nine of y'all. It's Nani hop.
Yeah, we're gonna have all type. We're gonna band together.
And do what?
If you can get the 9 Terps fans to hang with the 11 Wizards fans, y'all got 20 people.
And that's all you need. You need 20 people on the same page. It's better than everybody trying to beat you. We fall in our place. We know what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Let me jump on some of these comments, and I got another question. Noah says, major gym rat when we were talking about the midnight ride in the gym, but Kahoot for sure. Joni checked in. She said, don't worry, I left in 2013, the Commanders.
Joni, JoJo. Time out, JoJo. You on next week. You're giving up content. Come on. Don't give up the content. Don't give it up for free. Come on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know what? I'm thinking about starting this. We got to start like a something. We need a change hitting the jar or something. So whenever he says the phrase, we got to at least put a quarter in the jar. And it's got to be organic. Can't be said. And I'm not even going to say the phrase. You'll know when you see my reaction. But when he says the phrase, we got to put a quarter in the jar. Got to. So, Joni says, I know Charles Mann's sister used to be real close, but time... We just kind of don't talk. We kind of grew apart. Not as close, but still a homie. Don't worry. I get it all the time. People hate me for leaving. You got to go where your heart is. It was like breaking up my first love. Jeez.
Wow. Wow. Joe,
what are we doing, JoJo? What are we doing here?
Drop a quarter in the drop a quarter in the jar.
That's it. The thing.
Yep. Just drop a quarter in the jar. What are we doing here?
I just all I want to know, Joe, is do you know, as far as you know, do he still eat them Hungry Man dinners? I want to know.
Nah, dog, we good. We doing regular cooking now, man.
Oh,
we doing regular man cooking now, bruh. Nah, go ahead. Somebody had a question, I forgot who it was.
If you had across every sport that you watch, your favorite sports memory, like the favorite memory that's like, this is why I love sports. All day ish.
Oh yeah. This is pretty much easy. I always tell people my favorite sport is football, but coming up real close is track and field.
Uh-oh, another alarm. Either that or the gerbils kicked in. Come on, get them.
Yes, I don't know if my camera out here. I think y'all can probably guess my favorite sports memory in football. It got to be Elway with the helicopter spin to win his first Super Bowl. I mean, I was in a room with a guy that's a father figure to me, and he know how much I love the Broncos. You know, I was waiting all these years, waiting, saw him lose 3 Super Bowls. Lost 3 Super Bowls in 4 years at that. So I'm like, oh my gosh, it's close to you, D. It wasn't as bad as 4 straight, but you could feel my pain, right? So, and he was in the room with me, and he just kept screaming. He was like, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Talking about, you know, Elway. Next thing you know, Elway took the ball around the right side. And, you know, he had to get that first down, jump. They clocked him, he spun, and it's history. You know, they went on. So that's definitely my number. If I had to choose one, it would be that. Other than that, it's seeing Carl Lewis back in the day. That's as a kid, that's just like a superhero, somebody that was doing the things he was doing.
So, I mean, of course, all the guys here, dads, with boys, so I know you have Caleb, and then you have the stepson. Or I don't want to call him stepson.
I don't know if it's me. I can't hear you, Midnight Ride.
Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Midnight?
Rab, check your earplugs, man. Change the battery in your hearing aid.
That might have disconnected. Can you hear us now, Rab?
Can you hear us now?
My apologies. Can y'all hear me? I can't hear nothing no more.
We can hear you, but you can't hear us. We can hear you.
Go ahead. Stop using these.
Yeah, I think they disconnected.
Yeah, they probably disconnected and you probably got to go in and tell the settings.
How about now?
Can you hear us?
We always can hear you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you got to turn your
mic. My bad. Now y'all know I'm not tech savvy because I can't hear nothing, man.
That phone call might knock them out.
All right, so
y'all gonna write a sign or something, put it up because I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. My bad.
Check the chat real quick. So just hop out real quick and then jump back in, and then we'll see if we can pick you up that way.
Hey, G, you might have to X them out and then somebody send them a message on Messenger.
Yeah. Okay.
And they haven't come back yet. I think the alarm might have kicked the earbud off.
All right, we have 31. Let's try to get like a couple questions in and then let them out.
Yeah.
Forgot about it, but it started rolling and
it always starts rolling.
Hey, that's what it does, baby.
We got Joe the Fan lined up for next week too. So
that's gonna be a good one. Matter of fact, let me get to some of these comments because while we're waiting on them to come back, we gotta knock these out.
Okay.
This one for you, BJ. JoJo say I'm a Terp fan, let's go. And a Wizards fan.
Thank you.
So you got something going on there.
Thank you.
Russ, my man, so I follow him. Everybody got that one player. You know, I'm like that with Derrick Rose. Wherever Derrick Rose go, I'll buy Derrick Rose jersey. I would love to get every Derrick Rose jersey there is.
Hey, you got to check out the 520 podcast by Jeff Teague. So he talks about that night. Look, fix the face. Just listen to me, all right? So Teague talks about the night in Minnesota when they're playing whoever Ricky Rubio was playing for at that time. And Derrick Rose goes to Teague and like, hey, you playing tonight? And Teague's like, nah, I don't think I'm going. He was like, don't worry about it. I'm going 50. So as he's telling the story, he's like, yeah, we just kept seeing his numbers get closer and closer. And then when he got to like 48, you could just see tears coming down his eyes. And then for all of us, we had tears coming down our eyes and we couldn't understand why we were crying. But we were crying because he was crying, and it was just one of those moments because it was something he deserved. And he talked about him hitting 50, and then that was just all part of it right there at the end of it. And that's just a story I think you would appreciate from the beginning. Brad, can you hear us now?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, cool. What I was going to say is all the fellas in the group, we're all dads. You know, I want to talk to you about your son, Caleb. I know you also, correct me on this if I'm wrong, stepson as well. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's probably call him your son because I know how you roll. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about those two and then like kind of their paths in the sports if they're even playing sports.
Okay, absolutely. So starting with Caleb, he's my son. Now I'm remarried and I have three bonus loves. But Caleb, you know, that's my first son. And I wanted to start him off with sports early. And I think the first, you know, y'all fathers, so you know, you want to put your sons and or daughters in anything, you know, let them try everything, man. The kid tried little golf here, little teeny basketball here, soccer, yeah, anything, you know, you name it. But at a young age, I recognized that he was faster than children his age. So I remember we would always go up and to the local in Woodbridge. Matter of fact, Midnight Rider, your son ran for the same track team.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call what he did running, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Okay.
My son participated in track.
Okay. Got you. But I remember that. So,
yeah.
So, you know, Caleb came some years after Josh. And and he was five, and he was doing these drills because you couldn't run on the track team until you were seven. And he was five doing the drills, running, sprinting, da da da. And this guy came into, he was like, "Is that your son?" I was like, "Yeah, yes, sir." And he was like, "All right, why you don't put him on the track team?" I was like, "He only five." He was like, "I'm the head coach of this team." He said, "He only five?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "So?" So I was like, "Yeah." He said he got some talent. So he started running track. He did decently. I think it was his first meet. He checked himself. He was younger than the other runners because obviously they was, 7 years old. He was 5 years old. He checked himself. And matter of fact, Midnight Rider Damien was there. And he checked himself into the mile. And I had no idea. I didn't even know what race was coming up next. But he checked himself in. He ran the mile. He had a hell of a good time. Not a good time doing it, but a good time in the mile. And after he did that, he wanted to quit. He had no more love for it because the coach he came to me and he was like, "Did you tell him to run that?" I was like, "Nah." I said, "I assumed you wanted him to run it." He was like, "Nah." He just took it upon himself, but he wasn't used to that. And ever since then, he's like, "I'll never do track again." I tried to get him to do it year after year. He's like, "I'd never do it."
Dang them alarms, boy.
Yeah, unfortunately, as a parent, it's you have those and it make or break.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be that one moment where they just, and it just that it don't have to be sports. It could be water. It could be, an instance in out in the store where they just don't. That's it. I want to do it. It is.
Have a bad batch of grits and never want grits again.
Everyone. Yep.
And but his older brother, which is their half brothers, they have the same mom. It's my ex-wife. He plays. He was a rookie this year for the Panthers.
Oh, and, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So he's on the O-line for the Panthers right now. And I remember when he was in middle school, and I was like, "Yeah, you should go out for the football team," because he started to get bigger and bigger. And he went out for a couple weeks and they cut him. And I was like, "What?" They cut him. And I was like, "Man, I don't know what to tell you." I wanted to go talk to the coach, and his mom was like, "No, don't. Just don't do that." And next thing you know, he played next year, took off, went to college, was a great player, got drafted. And the fourth or sixth round. And yeah, he played for the Panthers now. So of course, Caleb is a Panthers fan, and it makes sense. I root for him too. Wishing him well. He does quite well. Great, great young man. Great young man.
All right, man. I think we kept you a little long, but I got one more question if you don't mind.
Yeah,
and you can get some sleep so you can get up early for your Rudy Tooty, Fresh and Fruity Denny's meal.
Hey, I hope it's about the Super Bowl. I'm just saying. But well, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Hey. So what was your thoughts, man? Actually, this is perfect because you'll be the lead into us talking about the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy for my homes. Now, I'm a Broncos fan. I hate the Chiefs with a passion. Definitely wasn't rooting for them. That's just like being a Commanders fan and root, you want Dallas to win the Super Bowl. I just can't see that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I despise, but I'm happy for him. You know what I'm saying? He's a killer for real. I'm not gonna lie, that dude is a killer, man. Everybody that gets to his level is going to get some kind of specialist, preferential treatment, the Jordan treatment, the LeBron treatment, whatever you want to call it. He's going to get that. But outside of that, the dude is crazy. I was watching the game last night and with my wife, and I said, "Look, babe, I said, this is what's going to happen. I told her straight up. I said, this is what's going to happen. San Francisco is going to go down. They're going to score, right? They're going to leave too much time on the clock. Chiefs going to go down and win the game, guaranteed. And it's pretty much what happened. You know, it's pretty much what happened. But I've been seeing a lot of people talking about. I know I'm the, what is it, Joe the guest or Joe the fan? Look, if I can pose a question, have y'all seen things online about people talking about rigging in the NFL? If so, what you think?
All right, you trying to be a professional on your first day.
I'm just saying that's what I've been seeing, and I just want to see what everybody else thinks.
So for me, I see it, but I think part of the problem, and I think this is one of the things that always scared football about sports gambling, and the fact that so many of us now can just touch our phone and gamble. I think you just got people looking for things, trying to find Easter eggs in like plays, and like, oh, this play has gone wrong. And like, I think they don't understand the true part about sports is, yeah, one play could change the momentum, but it doesn't dictate the terms of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think so many people are like, oh, look at this play. See, they didn't call like the Tony play. I forgot who they were playing, where his foot was on the line, mm-hmm. and they were like, oh, you know, they go back three plays and his foot was in the same place and they didn't call it. Right. So I think we're in such a mindset of like the refs have to be perfect, that anytime they're off any kind of way, it just leads to people assuming that the game is rigged. And I think part of this is also people that aren't true fans watching the game because all they have is a betting interest. So I think that's the other reason why you get a lot of that.
It's hard.
Hard
to deny those allegations when you see Taylor Swift on TV every week and you know how much money she's made the NFL and how much more popularity that they gain with her presence at every game leading up to the Super Bowl. As a sports fan, you want to believe everything's pure and true, but, you know, you take an instance a couple of years ago, the Rams got a new stadium, they got a Super Bowl. Just like that. And it's just little things like that, you know, start building up and building up. And you go a couple years before that, New Orleans, and that disaster that happened with Hurricane Katrina, they pop up and win a Super Bowl. And it's just like, you know, you sit back and not just the last couple of years, you just think of things that's happened and how they happen. And it's just like, you know, you don't want to believe it. As somebody that, you know, follows sports and wants to understand both sides of the fences, you understand both sides of the fences. So, KG?
I've been waiting for this question my whole entire life. I have so many instances of it all being rigged, but nobody believes me because I'm a conspiracy theorist at heart. But if things don't make sense, you got to question it. Now, B, I got to disagree with you with the Super Bowl thing with the Rams, because whenever a team gets a new stadium, they automatically going to get a Super Bowl played in that stadium. So that's going to happen.
Now, I'm talking about the Rams winning the Super Bowl.
That was kind of crazy. It was a blur of a year. We don't have to go back far. Let's talk about the Lakers in 2000 coming back from 26 down, because you can't have a small market team like Portland being in the finals. So they had to hit the switch. The Lakers had to come back. The big market team, Lake Show, back on. Okay, September 11th happens in 2001. What happens? The Patriots win the Super Bowl. Why did the Patriots win the Super Bowl? Nobody's looking at the Patriots. It's so much. But in that game Sunday night, San Francisco played with so much heart, so much effort until the last drive. All of a sudden, they weren't chasing down. They weren't finishing tackles. They couldn't tackle. Don't tell me you were gassed. Don't tell me you didn't know the overtime rules. You still know you have to stop them. Patrick Mahomes went out the back door twice for first downs. You don't know that he can run? Nobody prepared for this. Steve Wilks, they were complimenting Steve Wilks all night about his game plan. They were talking about putting his game plan in Canton. with Bill Belichick's Super Bowl 25 game plan and Romeo Crennel's game. They was talking about doing all of that. Then all of a sudden, you can't coach defense no more. Make it make sense.
Hey, I'm with you, man. Like,
Lakers gotta catch shrapnel.
You say what?
My Lakers gotta catch shrapnel on this.
Oh, I was holding that on. I wanted to get you with that one. I was holding on to that one all week.
Buffalo court. Right. It's going around everybody.
I'm with you. I like what you said about the Mahomes backdoor play twice. It's like, how you don't have a spy on Mahomes? He not Lamar Jackson, but he can spin wheels, and he know how to run. It's not just that he can run; he know.
And we got another alarm. There we go. Come on. You gotta hit the volume.
Number two. Here we go. I'm with you on the conspiracy theory, Big KG, just because it's like, in a way, now not all over, but I sort of look at it like this. All right. The NFL, first and foremost, we all know it's a business. It's a sports business, but it's a business, period. The number one, you know, goal of any business is to make as many coins as possible. Okay. So that being the case, if you look at dynasties, right? Dynasties are, I don't want to use the wrong word, not created by the NFL. They're sort of allowed, they're sort of ushered in more so by the NFL. The way KC played this season, and all of a sudden when you talk about business, if the number one goal is to make money, there are what is called business decisions. And so that's my little two takes on the conspiracy thing. I can't get too far in it because I might be, you know, drinking the water a little bit. But, hey, it's a thought.
Hey, man, first and foremost, as always, thank you. I know we kept you over your time. But I appreciate it. I appreciate the way you responded. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you, as KG always says, there's an open chair. Sometimes you want to jump in. You know, we're doing a couple features. You might want to jump in with something. Just let us know. Or if we call you, just let us know if you can go. If you've been watching, you've seen some of the guys that have been featured on this. Be guest hosts with us when people can't show. So we extend that invitation to you, brother. And, you know, last but not least, you know how it is, man. Love you, and I appreciate you doing this for me. I don't think he heard any of that.
Oh.
Hey, just take a moment. I'll text him, dog. I'll tell him to watch the show back.
hey, that came from... Right here.
Yeah, can't repeat
and
that.
You pushed it up and it came out all sparkly and, you know, almost watery up a little bit, man. You know, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
He said he can't hear, so give him the salute to let him know he out. So give him the mile high salute.
Hey, thank fellas. You. I appreciate you all for having me. Thanks a lot. Anytime y'all want me back, let me know. If y'all don't want me back, let me know too. But hey, appreciate it.
All right, now
we got a couple of comments, and then we're gonna jump into the Super Bowl. Tara Rogers, she got an opinion. I mean, it ain't college basketball, but she got an opinion. I need college basketball, but she says, yes, Taylor Swift made more folks tune in. Oh, hold on, come on now. Taylor Swift made more folks tune in, but I don't believe the system is rigged. I believe the system is rigged for most of my life.
I don't want to believe the system is rigged. Go ahead and get to the rest of the comments.
Most folks thought it would be the Ravens and the 49ers because the Ravens have been doing it big all year. They were the number one team, and they were miles beyond everybody.
No, you and your aunts and the friends with the aluminum foil and helmets – was talking about the colors of the
logo. No.
How the logo told us who the teams were.
At the Pentagon?
I had Buffalo.
No, I know who you had. But see, I'm talking about people that believe like you in the conspiracy.
This is what the color scheme is, because look at the color scheme last year and the color scheme the year before. I don't. The color scheme next year is green and yellow with red and purple in it.
Oh, I know JoJo going to be happy with that. That's the Packers, baby.
Didn't the Packers win both of their championships, their last two championships in New Orleans?
I don't know.
We got to double check that.
I'll double check.
Hold up, KG, before you go to the next comment, is the earth flat?
No.
All right, just asking. I'm just trying to see your level of conspiracy, dog. It's all good. Is Area 51 real?
I cannot speak on that on here. I will have to see you in person and we'll have to talk about that, but you have to be checked for wires. I can't tell you what I know. I got a cousin in the Pentagon that knows all of that.
Get to the comments.
Why couldn't it be the better team that came out on top? Because if you want to talk about the better team, San Francisco was the better team this season. So the better team did not come out on top. Remember, we talked about Kansas City having the yips. That's why the Lakers are always in the playoffs, because of business. They're not always in the playoffs.
Bang.
But I see what you're saying.
Man.
I see what you're saying. Hey, I see what you're saying. You got to have your big market teams in the playoffs, because that's big money. That's long money.
Oh. It's money. Because there's a team. Hold on. Because if you say there's big money and big teams, big market teams. What's up with them pinstripes, bro?
I was looking up north.
We talking about NBA, NFL. You don't have to do that.
Oh!
If you notice, right, every decade, the Yankees fall off for a little bit. And then when they come back, please stop. Don't do it.
All right, now get to the comments. All right, come on.
Noah says, much love, Big Robbie. Good to see you, bro. See you later. From Tyra Rogers.
Much love, Noah, Big Robbie.
Much love. Tyra Rogers say, salute, soldier. And buy paper.
I don't know where we went with that one.
We was all over the place, but hey, let's get to this game real quick. And I gave my knee-jerk reactions for those that have been living under a rock the last 2 days. These Kansas City Chiefs are your world champions once again. They beat the San Francisco 49ers 25-22. Stat line. I said in our pregame show that Christian McCaffrey won for 204. He was going to run for 205 and two touchdowns. Didn't quite happen, but it's okay. This was in OT. Brock Purdy was 23 of 38, 255 and a touchdown. Juwan Jennings had one pass, 21 yards, touchdown. McCaffrey, 22 carries, 80 yards. Not quite what I thought he would be. Purdy even had three carries for 12 yards. McCaffrey led San Francisco in receiving, 8 catches, 80 yards. Ayuk, 3 catches, 49 yards. For the world champion Chiefs, my homeboy, 34-46, 333, 2 touchdowns and a pick. He also led the team in rushing with 9 carries, 66 yards, with Pacheco, 18 carries, 59 yards. Kelce, 9 catches, 93 yards. And a highlight play that has been scrutinized all up and down, side to side, and has been talked about an awful lot the last couple of days. So, gentlemen, start with the Midnight Rider and go to – oh, she said by paper was the better team.
Gotcha.
The better team by paper. San Francisco was by paper. Okay. Start with the Midnight Rider. Go to the boss, BJ. Your thoughts on the Super Bowl.
Are we just doing a Super Bowl talk?
Yes.
All right. So on the Super Bowl, I said on the pregame show that you can't go wrong with Mahomes. You can't. Like, it's just not a thing it's not, I mean, I know conspiracy theories have their things, but I mean, when a man has played 5 years, or he started for 5 years, and he's been in five AFC championship games, and he probably should have had another Super Bowl trip if it wasn't for the fingertips of D Ford being in the neutral zone against the Patriots. Like, they're one play away from being there five straight times. So this is amazing in its own right. Well, maybe it was four. Maybe I got my numbers wrong, but it's something like that. Five straight or four straight or five out of six. But he's definitely putting together, before the age of 30, probably one of the best resumes you could see in the sports world. The other thing I thought about this game, I was heartbroken. Because the second I saw D. Greenlaw jumping to go on the field, and the second he went to run, I was like, oh, he popped his Achilles. I knew it right away, because you can see in his calf, and that's the beauty of HDTV or 4K, like, you could see that the muscle when it popped, and it was crazy. And I was like, and they were like, lower leg injury. I was like, nah, dog, that's an Achilles. I know what Achilles was like, because the first thing he did was look back. And I never forget, one day I was in, I had like these crazy back spasms. So I had to go to the emergency room. And this dude was in there because he had just tore his Achilles, but he was telling the story. And like, one of the things he said in the story was, he was like, dog, I went to do something. I felt my leg pop. And I looked back at the guy behind me like, why'd you kick me? And if you ever pay attention, watch the reactions of the person when their Achilles pops. They always look back like, what happened, or what did you do? And that's like one of my signs when I look at them. But still, it's just, that was heartbreaking, because I think that was more pivotal than anything else in that game. I mean, I think the muff is like number two, but I think number one was the fact that Greenlaw wasn't in the ballgame, because they were handling Kelce pretty well at that point. And up until that point, he was, what, one catch, 1 yard? And then after that, he got loose. So I think that helped in the changing of the ball game. Go ahead, B.
I'm going to say this, and, you know, the divisional where they came to Buffalo, Kansas City came to Buffalo. And Buffalo, I think it was, Buffalo scored, it was 24-17. And I was at work, so I had to put my phone down. But I left KG a message. I said, if Buffalo doesn't put up another touchdown, they're going to lose this game. And they end up missing the field goal, losing, what, 27-24? Mm-hmm. I put the phone down, and the 49ers did not complete that drive and had to kick a field goal. I said, they're going to lose this game. Just like Rab said, you left Mahomes too much time. And it just – you know, not to, I don't know if it's really conspiracy theory, but it's just because I'm on a complete different end of the spectrum. You see a team that every time they need something, they get it. Every time they need a first down, they get it. Every time they need a play, somebody's open. And then you watch, I won't say the other team because we're talking about the Chiefs and the Niners, and you watch other teams continuously get screwed over on that side of the spectrum. So, you know, that's where your conspiracy theorists, you know, when you start thinking things like that. But I just felt like, you know, I watched the last couple of minutes of the game, and it just like the 49ers defense just turned the switch off. And it was just like, fuck it, we're going home. And for some of the players, you know, y'all know how high I speak of Kyle Shanahan. For some of the players to come out and say they didn't know the overtime rules on a Kyle Shanahan team. Y'all don't know the overtime rules. That's kind of like, I want to say I lost my luster for Kyle Shanahan, but it's just like, come on, guys. Like, we can't, come on. Like, this is juvenile. You don't know the overtime rules. Go ahead, Midnight Rider.
I was going to say real quick, is like, you've coached a team before, and you've told your team everything before the ball game. And I swear to God, the second that whistle blows or that coin goes up in the air, everything that you said to them all week goes right out the out of their potties, and it, you like literally, you're watching them, and they're acting like you never practiced this or you never went over this all week. So I kind of have that. Maybe it's my Kyle bias, but like I kind of have that feel to it. Like, dog, we talked about it. You probably zoned out or didn't retain the information, or the second you got in the moment was so big that that's what happened. But I'm sorry. Let you finish, man.
What did we talk about, I believe, last show? It was the last show when we was talking about linebackers, and we was talking about certain linebackers that can write you a thesis and it dissect everything to the blades of grass. If it's this type of field, this is what we got to do. We can't make sharp cuts. And then it's certain linebackers where you just got to go, you see that number right there on the opposite team. If he touched the ball, you go this way. If he doesn't get the ball, you go this way. And this is where coaching comes in. You have to know, you have to make sure your team understands what you're preaching, or else you're failing at coaching. You have, and that's where you go. You have the, you know, you have the session where y'all sitting down, y'all talking about it, y'all going over the presentation. Then you go out on field and you put your put them in scenarios where they have to think about what you told them in the classroom. So, you know,
Einstein's and pit bulls, baby.
You know, and that and that's what it is. Is, you know, but they didn't lose that game because they didn't know the overtime rules. They just got beat by Patrick Mahomes. They let Kelsey. I said in the pregame, if y'all let Kelsey go off, y'all gonna lose this game. Because I'm not gonna say I don't respect the Chiefs receivers, but who are the Chiefs receivers? Like, it's nobody on that squad that you'd be like, man, we got a game plan for this guy. So that just tells you how bad, how special, and I mean bad, I mean good, how bad Patrick Mahomes is. Because I say it all the time, when you get a quarterback, Brady done it in New England before, and I'll get to that in a second. I don't want to spoil what I'm going to say. But Brady did New England. You got these no-name receivers, and this guy can pinpoint accuracy, still chew you up and chop you up into a cheesesteak. That's when you know you got a special guy in the back, okay? I'm going to say this, and I'm gonna move on. If the Chiefs in the draft land a right receiver, a real number one, you're going to see Mahomes break every 07 Patriot record. You hear it here first. If they get him the right receiver, I think Kelsey might go for two more years. Maybe two. I think he's 35, right? If you get, if you pair Kelsey and a real number one receiver, they're going to break every 07 Patriot record. It is the man. I'm talking about that Moss, that Brady Moss combo. If they can land that guy in the draft, they seem like they do a pretty good job drafting people. They land that guy, the league is in trouble. And this, I'll say one more thing, get out of here. This Chiefs Super Bowl is a gut punch to the Baltimore Ravens. It's a gut punch to the Buffalo Bills, because next year you get a healthy Joe Burrow back. You get a Houston Texans team that got experience now in the playoffs. If Pittsburgh get the right quarterback, you got to deal with Pittsburgh. You got to deal with Cleveland coming back healthy. And you got to see if Miami progresses. And so now you got to deal with a whole mix of people where you kind of had some, and it happens every year. Somebody's going to be out. But I thought it was the perfect opportunity for a couple teams, and they let Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs do their thing.
Ooh, I'm sorry. I just threw up a quick mock with Kansas City just to see what receivers would be available around 32. And the guy that made me make a face is the kid out of Georgia, Ladd McConkey. He's like the perfect slot guy. If you could put a guy like that on one side and have Kelsey on the side and let Reese be on the outside, if Reese is a true outside. I don't know if he is or not. But this draft is heavy in wide receivers. You got guys like Johnny Wilson from Florida State, Dontez Walker, who was screwed over by the NCAA because he wasn't eligible the first 4 weeks. Jalen Polk from Washington, Torrey Franklin, Xavier Worthy. There's going to be some guys available for them. So I don't even know if they got to get one. Because I think if they let Rice or Reese, whatever his name was, I think if they let him do his thing, he could possibly be the one, and this guy they draft be the two, and whatever they can get from Sky Moore, or if they want to go back down this journey with Kadarius Toney, you know, they got what they got. I'm sorry, Casey.
That's over. And he's a stupid. He squandered an opportunity to
best coach he could have had.
Best coach, best quarterback he could have ever had. You were healthy scratch at the Super Bowl because you run your mouth and you couldn't be humble enough to say, I messed up and I got to go in here. I got to go in the lab. I got to get things right so I can help this team. KG, go ahead, baby.
This is after I've had time to think. San Francisco played a very, very good game. Just wasn't enough to win. And Dario and Xavier can tell you point blank, when it was 13-10, San Francisco score made it 16-13. I said, all right, touchdown. And I looked at it. I said, they're going to miss the extra point. I said, see, they're either going to miss it or get blocked. And they can tell you, I said this before it went up. And when the kick went up and it got blocked, I said, I told you. I told you. I said, well, now what's going to happen? I said, Kansas City's going to drive down. They're going to bog down. They're going to kick a field goal. It's going to go into overtime. If Kansas City gets ball first, it may not be 13 seconds, but they're going to win this with a touchdown. Kansas City's going to win with a touchdown. I don't know what in the blue hell San Francisco was doing, but everything they did to get into the red zone, it's like they got scatterbrained in the red zone, and all of a sudden you don't know what plays to call. They couldn't score. I looked at that, and I said, that right there has to go on your head coach. That has to go on the coaching staff. And then when they gave the ball back to Kansas City, I said, this is where the defense has to stand up. This vaunted defense of all these guys, you got to stand up. You got to get a stop. You got them in third and long. They got out of it. I'm drawing a blank. You just said his name. My man that got injured. Coming off the field.
Oh, Greenlaw.
When he got injured, the first thing I said, I don't know if that was Achilles, but then they said, oh, he can't put no weight on his foot. I said, that's Achilles. I thought it was ACL. Then they said, no weight. I said, Achilles, immediately, before I even seen the video, the rest of the video. I thought that would kind of push San Francisco over the edge and be like, you know what? We got to win it for him. We got to finish the job. Chase Young played better than I had seen him play in quite some time. Like, he was chasing guys down from behind. And normally when he's out of the play, he's just taking in the sights. But he was chasing guys down from behind, and Noah said, got to jump. Appreciate you for joining us tonight. Thank you.
Don't forget to catch the replay. Oh, just in case, hold on. That's our soccer guy. Whenever we're ready to talk soccer, that's the guy.
Most definitely, because I need to learn something about that.
He's going to talk to you about the beautiful play and send you nothing but highlights of how, you know, dog. It's crazy. I don't have the patience for soccer. I'm a pit bull, not an Einstein.
But my knee-jerk reaction was, you know, San Francisco gave up. But as I look at this, I'm like, this is a battle of wills. And when San Francisco needed a hero, it was a manhood issue because they couldn't get a hero. So before we jump out of here, fellas, let me ask you the elephant in the room. Travis Kelce coming up to Andy Reid and kind of getting in his face and bumping the old man, who laughed about it after the game and was like, you know, that's just Travis. And, you know, that, you know, it was all good from Andy Reid, but a lot of people had a problem with it. How did you gentlemen feel about it before and after the press conference?
Even watching the play, I was like, all right, I had no problem with it. I mean, it's what we see all year long with these guys in these situations. And I think he was frustrated because he wanted to be on the field, and he got taken out. And then I think the tight end got beat, but not even going to that part of it. I think this is just a competitor. I think he caught Andy off guard, and I think he was like so like ready to get his point off that he kind of lost balance going into that didn't sound good. But he, getting to Andy, he was off balance, and then Andy was off balance, so it made it look worse than what it was. That definitely deserves a pause, and I'm gonna give you that a super pause. I think for me, I saw no problems with it. But again, the ladies at work, the casual fans, they were like, "Oh my gosh, it's so crazy!" I'm like, "They do this all the time. They do this all the time." And people have points, you know. If when certain players do it, it's their competitive nature. When other players do it, they're showing up the coach. They're prima donnas. So I'm gonna leave it there because I think I went Sherman Douglas today.
Go ahead and read it, KG.
Read it, or you're going to sit there and smile.
If it was a black player, this is from Terry Rogers. If it was a black player, the media would have blown this all out of proportion.
Ladies and gentlemen, take this plane ride with me. We're going to de-ice the plane. We're going to take off. We're going to land at Orchard Park, New York.
You want a Cessna?
Nah, I need something bigger. I need stretch. Okay. So I need a jet. I need a luxury jet, you know? Stephon Diggs has done this multiple times, hasn't bumped anybody, and has been called the most disrupted SOB in sports sometimes. All right. Now, you know, the other things, him dropping the pass in the game, you know, he brings that on himself. But when he does this, he needs to be traded. He needs this. He's a distraction to the team, the whole nine yards. And I just want people to remember this. Because every time it looks like somebody looks like us wants to win, we're disruptive. We're a cancer to the locker room. And when it happens on the other side of the coin, it's a fiery competitor. And, you know, I hate to point that out, but nothing's going to happen to Travis Kelce unless it really, you know, because some players said something about it. A couple players said something about that also. Unless the Chiefs find him, nothing's going to happen. If that was Stephon Diggs and he did that to McDermott, man. Woo. Baby.
Hey, G. Do you need a beef?
Huh?
You need a KG has beef intro or you good?
Nah, because, I mean, it's the truth. The truth is truth. Nothing's going to happen. But what Tara said, what Boss BJ said, it's the truth. Because if it was, you know, a player of another shade, we'd be talking about something different. Like, people probably be going as far as talking about pressing charges. Like, how could you assault an elderly man like that? And Andy Reid got to be one of the roughest customers out there. Like, he is fiery. And this is not the first time it's happened. It happened earlier in the year where Kelce had a little run-in with Andy Reid. It was a little, what Jack Del Rio called, a dust-up. That's what it was. That's just a dust-up. That's nothing. That's a dust-up. So we you know, let's... Emotions were running high because it was the biggest game of the season. Don't worry about it. I think Antonio Brown said it best. He said, and I quote, if that would have been me, they would have kicked me out of the league. And I agree 1,000%. Uncle Ruckus would have came up from the back. That nigga's guilty. Get him up out of here.
Put change in the swear jar.
Oh, my goodness. FCC, baby. Yeah. Woo! Good.
And Terry said he will not be fined no bench. No, he will not. Not at all. But I understand.
I'm sorry, that wasn't for you guys. I'm watching the Carolina Syracuse game on mute. I think the ACC had set me up because every Tuesday night during the show, it's Carolina and somebody. And so far, I think I'm 0-2, and it looks like we're heading to 0-3. But go ahead, carry on.
I'll say this: we got draft coming up, we got free agency coming up, this is NBA All-Star Weekend. So that means we got everybody flying. Where's the All-Star game at this year?
No clue.
I'll watch the celebrity game on Friday, whatever else on Saturday. Yeah. I'm good.
Hold on. So, you know, you got to look at it like this. I would say it is in Indianapolis. I should have known that because they built the court that you can't play on in the airport. It's in Indianapolis. So, you got everybody flying into Indy.
Indiana going to be crazy.
Yeah. Shannon Sharp and Mike Epps going to sit down and talk this weekend. You got the Rock and Jock basketball game, celebrity basketball game. You got the Rising Stars, the Chic Rising Stars, and you got the All-Star Saturday night. You got the game on Sunday. Like, man, this is like, woo.
Do they break 200 in the game?
They did that, what, year before last, didn't they?
I don't know.
I remember, I think I watched it, and I was like, they're going to break 200. But I want to see an All-Star game. I mean, I get it. You play no defense the first two quarters. You know, you don't play no defense. You just kind of chucking the ball up. It's a show for the fans. Then it gets competitive in the second half. BJ, when? You remember All-Star game 2001 in D.C.?
I remember.
Oh, we talking about two different generations of basketball and All-Star games.
No. I'm not talking about the game. I'm not talking about the game. We're not talking about the game. Not a game.
A game. We talking about the weekend?
No, I'm talking about that whole entire weekend. That shit was bananas in D.C.
Yes, it was.
And yes, all we did was go to jam session. We went to jam session on Saturday night, got home in time to watch the daggone festivities.
Yep.
That's all we did.
Yep.
It's not all I did, but hey, okay.
Felt like rock stars.
Yeah, man. I still, every card that I got, they had the collectible cards out there. Every card that I got from that night, I still have. Because that night was so special, man. That night was absolutely special. And I always wondered, is it like that in every city? I don't think they do jam session anymore, but they actually had the NBA Live set up on PlayStation, Dreamcast. They had 2K set up on Dreamcast. They had the game system set up, everything. It's beautiful, man. It was beautiful. But we got all that going on this weekend. Thursday, what are we doing Thursday? What are we doing?
Well, before we get to that, we got to drop this. ESPN and the college football playoff system has agreed to a contract extension worth $7.8 billion for the next 6 years as the format changes to a 12-team format. The only sad thing about this is once this format changes to 12, the teams that finish 13th and 14th will whine and complain that they got snubbed. That's the only difference. So I don't understand why all these people that talk about these things on the shows, they go, oh, we can fix the problem if we add more teams. Dog, we got 68 teams in the NCAA tournament, and every year we talk about team 69, 70, and 71. And we're going to talk about team 13, 14, and 15. So get your cognac ready, and let's go.
Speaking of which, if you're a bubble team and you won your conference, and you may be a mid-major, and your team 69, I have a right to be pissed too because I won my damn conference. Why didn't I get an invitation? Then you don't get an invitation to the NIT either? That's a problem.
Oh, I forgot this. Real quick. You know how I get, you know me, and certain times I watch a game or two and I get a team. I get a team I like. Wake Forest. If the Deacons are in the tournament and they're the 12 in that 5-12 matchup, or they're the 11 in that 6-11 matchup, or 7-10, take the Demon Deacons. You won't be mad. They're scrappy. They have athleticism. They beat Georgia Tech on, I think it was Saturday or a couple of weeks ago. They beat Georgia Tech after Georgia Tech had beat North Carolina. They came out last night and they played against Duke. And if that game's not at Duke, I don't think Duke beats them. But Wake Forest is a team, college football, I'm not saying they're going to win the whole thing, but that's the type of team you keep your eyes on because they have some of the intangibles and they do the little things well. That's it for me. I'm sorry. This is like my Houston Texans of the college basketball season. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we got to get on up out of here.
And no, Miss Rogers, I'm not only saying that because they beat my mob. I'm saying that because I watched them last night against Duke. And I see a team that does all the small things in basketball. So, again, Wake Forest. Because it looked like Syracuse about to beat my team. So now I got to get a phone call from my buddy's wife because she's going to talk cash trash tonight. Sorry.
It's okay. It's
all about me.
It's all right. Therapy. Fellas, this was a great Joe the Fan. Man.
And the bad thing is we didn't even get to like half the stuff I could have gotten to.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you to everybody in the comments. Miss Rogers. Hold on, let me get to everybody. Miss Rogers.
Dave. Just to call him Dave. I know you better say Noir Jacobin. Dave.
Dave. JoJo. See you next week, JoJo. Think that's everybody in the comments. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't be shy next time. Over on Instagram, Dario, Chandelier, Keith, Kevin, thank y'all for watching. Really appreciate it. Final thoughts, gentlemen, before we roll up out of here.
I gotta give a shout out to B because this whole week this last like 7 days, he's been like just trying to push the product, trying to get us to do some different things. And if you didn't see it, I took your TikTok, posted it on Facebook, trying to give an intro for the night. I like what you're doing, bro. We got to just keep it going and do it as a team, man.
I appreciate that, man. It's just, I believe in what we're doing here, man. Not trying to sound corny or anything, but yeah, you will definitely see a Sideline Junkies TikTok presence from here on out. So keep an eye out for that. We'll repost the videos everywhere that we have pages.
Facts.
So, hold on.
That's the old one. But yeah, she gets a lot of hate, and that's part of why I wanted her to come on. Cause
college basketball season, let's go. Yep. Cause we're doing brackets this year. We're gonna do it right. And thank you for joining us, Tara. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the Midnight Rider, up this side. The Boss BJ down bottom. I'm the big guy, KG, out on the wing.
Shooting this open jumper. I don't know. You might want to say pause on that. You can't say he's at the bottom.
I didn't say he was a bottom. I said he was at the bottom.
See, at the bottom.
God. Oh, my God. Here we go. Here we go.
Swallowed. Midnight Rider did it. Okay. See, now I got in trouble for y'all. That's it. Good night. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining.
You got to get the feet up, dog. Go ahead and hit the play with the alien ship, man. Come on.
Good night.